This brings us to crabs, I do believe. Chief O'Reilly.
Good evening, and welcome, Mrs. Everett. And I'm going to go over just a little bit here. This will be our second public hearing. We had a situation where there was a misadvertisement in one of the newspapers, or we wouldn't be here with crabs today. It would have been settled. Instead, the commission had to establish emergency regulations, and today what staff is asking is to make the emergency amendments that the commission established last month on June 27th to make them part of the final regulation. Nonetheless, it is another public hearing. So you have the title here of what we're going to talk about today. It's really straightforward. Mainly, we're going to give you information that supports some modest changes to the regulations, one to the season, to really return to a season that was in place from 2007 through 2016. So for 10 years, we had a certain season, March 17th through November 30th. Last year, for the first time, and starting this year, rolling over, we had a March 1st start this year. We had a December 20th closure last year. That was the third December closure. The first one was in 2013. That was mitigated by a bushel allowance. So, in effect, it was taken care of to have that extra time. 2012 was on the basis of a great juvenile production that year, 583 million juveniles that really never made it to the fishery. They made it, from what we know, into red drum stomachs and also into cannibalism. So here you can see with this slide, this is actually what was recommended last month, and the commission at the bottom, you can see they adopted this staff recommendation as emergency amendments. Same amendments will apply today. The main item today is right here. This 2017 very low, fourth lowest juvenile abundance estimates, which is 125 million. However, before we go further, there have been questions on the commission, and Mr. France was one who asked about it, about the situation with male crabs. And have male crabs been low in Virginia? Are we not seeing as many here? That occurred last month. Mr. Cimino from staff last month presented this, which is not as rigorous as the female crab reference points for both overfishing and for an abundance level, but nonetheless, this is what the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee came up with, a conservation trigger, and you can see a couple of times it's been over the conservation trigger. What this means is that CBSAC will look each year to see if the male removal rate is greater than 33%, this red line. It is not, but certainly a few years ago, the male part of the population was very low. And again, the guiding principles for the control rule for this stock are based on female crabs, not on male crabs. However, since 1995, it's always been a situation where the scientists, some wanted to have something more rigorous than this on males. CBSAC will keep working on this. This shows you for Virginia just what the male composition has been, and you can really see down here the last 3 years, it's been higher than usual. There was a 40% of the composition of the harvest was males back in 2010. Of course, 2009, 2010, 2011 were fairly good years, all up in the 30 to a little above 30 million pounds for Virginia. But you can still see down here that the males are a main composition, and we wanted to show that because we had questions from the commission. If you go back further in time, you can see that they are lower back in time. So we looked at this from a area specific situation throughout the Chesapeake area and even into the ocean, and you really don't have to look a lot at the numbers. You can just look down here. This is a 7-year average, 2010 through 2016, and the important part is you can see that the Chesapeake Bay as well as the James River, are really the areas that are seeing more male crabs than other areas. So staff did want to bring this forward. It was a question of relevance from last time. It was a new question last time, actually. The situation today, however, is still focusing on the situation of low abundance, 125 million of the juveniles. The total crabs was 11th highest. The females, what are called female spawning age crabs, all that means in the winter, when this Baywide Winter Dredge Survey is underway from December 15th roughly to March 15th, the females that are assessed then and enumerated and expanded out to an abundance from density levels, they are the crabs that will spawn the following year. The main thing to keep in mind, however, these juveniles right here represent the spawning stock, or a major part of it, in 2018. No, we don't have a bit of control as managers over the juveniles. They're subject to much environmental variation. However, once we know what the juveniles are, this commission is committed to having a different framework of management that extends from July to July of the next year, and also maybe has two chances to look at a situation in the crab fishery, because two winter dredge surveys fall within that period. However, in the case of what we face for 2018, we won't have the luxury of the dredge results, the dredge survey results, until about late April, early May. By that time, the fishery is already in progress, and these 125 million will be a major component of a expected low spawning stock. And you have this here again with confidence intervals to show you that it is indeed fairly low, the fourth lowest. We have the situation today. I presented this information last month. This is really Dr. Lipschitz's work, so I'm going to ask him to come up and present his own information, if you would, to the commission. Welcome. Come on up here. So Dr. Lipschitz has several slides, and then I'll continue.
So good afternoon, Commissioner, Commissioners.
Thanks for being here, Ron.
Okay, so basically what I was doing is I wanted to look at the relationship between the spawning stock. As Rob said, it's the females that drive the, or that determine the reference points in the population, both the exploitation rate and abundance. And so we wanted to see if there's any relationship between juvenile abundance in 1 year and female abundance in the next year. That would provide some justification for having some kind of modest actions to limit the allow a greater fraction of the age zeros, the juveniles, to survive and become the spawning stock in the following year. So what I'm showing you is just some of the information that we have from the dredge survey, and basically this is just a figure representing the concentrations of juveniles. All it does, it says that we have a rigorous survey, that is, that we sample 1,500 locations throughout the Chesapeake Bay. We VIM samples about half of those, and Maryland DNR the other half. One thing I will tell you is that we don't sample for the age zeros, the juveniles. It's more of an index of abundance, because we do miss a lot of the very young juveniles that are in very shallow waters. We've been trying for a couple of years to try to get the General Assembly to try to fund this so we expand. Our survey hasn't happened yet, so for now we're basically left with the survey that we have. So in the upper graph here, you can just see that there's sort of the pattern. We had, of course, that very high juvenile abundance in 2012 that didn't that sort of vanished. We have done, by the way, for the commission, we have been conducting some studies now on gut contents and so on with red drum, striped bass, silver perch, adult blue crabs, and so on. And we have found so far that red drum by far have the highest numbers of crabs per fish on average. In the study, we have about 4.5 juvenile crabs per red drum. So when they're when their abundance increases dramatically, as it did in 2012, probably did. In addition, you have cannibalism and all the other finfish like striped bass and so on.
And my question was, have you also looked at the blue catfish?
I haven't, but some of my colleagues at VIMS have, and they have not found very high, very large numbers of juvenile crabs in the catfish. Now, the problem, of course, is that you might not have very many juveniles per fish, but if you have a lot of fish, which we know there are a heck of a lot of blue catfish, they could have some impact. So far, I think the jury's out on that they don't consume too many. There's so many other things for them to consume, including each other. They also cannibalize. So we don't think at this point that they're a major force, but jury's out on that.
Rom, is that for just age zero or all crabs?
This is just so that this up here is just age zeros. So as you can see here, this is what Rob was mentioning, this very low number, and this is the time frame when we had a period of low abundance before the commission implemented a number of severe management actions in 2008 that then caused an increase in females in 2009. You don't see that here, but the females increased significantly in 2009, and then their offspring were these juveniles. So the management actions worked. We had a surprise in 2012, but it's been rebounding since. So things are good. Something happened here where we're getting a low abundance, and I think what we wanted to do, okay, is there a relationship between that and female abundance? So here is... if I act a little bit surprised, it's only because I was out of town during the last meeting, so these are a little bit new.
Those were 2017, slide by slide.
2017, thank you. So this is, thank you very much. So here's, sorry, we just go back. I see. So that's when we had the very high abundance. Okay, and so here, I'll go a little faster since it is so late in the day.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, now that I know what I'm looking at. Okay, so 2013, we had very low abundance. You can see the same thing, all, you know, very few large dots, basically. And the stock was considered depleted that year as well, 2014. And here we just see the recovery happening. And here, this abundance is the abundance that we'd like to see. We'd like to see that from year to year. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of control over what's happening outside in the coastal waters. When they're out there, the larvae are out there for a month or so, and they come back in, and also in the grass beds. That's where the consumption's going on. That's where the red drum are targeting them, striped bass target them. And one of the things that you should be aware of is that predators like striped bass, like red drum, like silver perch, like adult blue crabs, they target what's abundant. So even though they are what we call generalist predators, they'll eat a wide range of things, if something is abundant, they actually form a search image. And they will target, and they'll eat as many of the crabs as they can. I'm sure some of you have heard some of the stories about a striped bass having over 100 juveniles in one gut, and so on. So they're generalists, so they really have the ability to reduce a very high abundance of juveniles down, and they target this size. We'd like to see this abundance again, this juvenile abundance from year to year. And same thing here, we had higher juvenile abundance. So we have this low abundance, and then we want to try to justify, as I said for you, that the whether or not there's a relationship between juvenile abundance and adult female abundance. So what I did is I looked at juvenile abundance. If you permit, I'll just
head over here to be easier.
So
yeah,
what I wanted to do... Yeah, speak really loudly, please, Ron.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So right here we have juvenile abundance in year T, in 1 year, and basically female age 1-plus abundance in the following year. And I wanted to look and see if there was a relationship. But the relationship, the statistical relationship, is a sigmoid. That is, if there's a threshold involved. So the abundance sort of bounces all around when the abundance of females in the following year bounces around, can be high, can be very low. When juvenile abundance is low, and then there's a threshold, and up above this threshold, around 250 million A0 for juveniles, then we get a higher level. There's sort of a shift from a low level on average to a high level. Probably one of the most important things to recognize from this is that it's below 250 that is when we have a probability, a significant probability of having very low female abundance the next year. So these four here points are at or below the female target threshold. So the threshold is a point that we never want to go below. This is the target, the threshold. So what it simply says that there is now a significant probability, now that we observe so few juveniles, there's a significant probability that next year we'll actually be below the threshold. And hopefully it won't be there. Now, most of the points are above the threshold, but notice most of the points are also very close to the threshold. So I think this is a time when, despite having a high spawning stock this year, it does justify having some sort of modest management action. The flip side, the good side, is that we do have a high spawning stock, so we're likely to get a higher recruitment, higher number of juveniles next year as well. So it may bounce a little bit, but we do feel like we have that buffer with the female spawning stock. We just don't want to go too low.
That's it. That's great. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please, Mr.
Prince. Yeah. What is specific time do crabs spawn, or do they spawn all year? Because I was talking to Mark Sanford back there, and he's down around the mouth of the bay. I'm in the tributaries of the Potomac. And for the last 3 weeks, we're just seeing piles and piles of crabs about an inch long.
There's been some interesting stuff happening. We actually think that, whether you believe in it or not, we think global warming is actually happening. From our dredge survey, we've actually been tracking temperatures since 1989, and we've seen that the bottom temperature has been increasing about a half degree centigrade per decade. So it's already up 1.5 degrees centigrade. It's higher than the global average. So we're seeing a warming in the bay. About 3 years ago, we actually caught a stone crab in the dredge survey. First time ever. Stone crab from, Florida, maybe in North Carolina, and so on. Yeah, so things are changing. And also, for the first time ever, we're hearing about crabs being being sponge crabs in December. Never heard that before. It used to be, when I first came to Vim, September 15th, Willard Van Engel told me, he said, after September 15th, you're not going to see any sponge crabs. And sure enough, for a few decades it happened. Now all of a sudden it's changing. So we noticed this early this spring when we did our survey, we were finding tiny crabs. So it's possible that they actually came in either very late in the year, like could have come in late December, maybe even January or so, and that's what was out there. So the bay is definitely changing in that regard.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commission for him?
Just a comment. That's helpful. That slide is helpful. That was information I did not know, so that's good.
Yeah, and I have to agree here with Rahm's analysis showing that really the target that we really would like to hit is around 250 million juveniles here in order to have a better likelihood of having good spawning stock and good harvest the next year. That really strikes home for me.
Thank you again, Rahm. And before you think poorly of Red Drum, the last time we had an abundance of Red Drum was 1991, but that was surpassed greatly by the 2012 influx that was all the way up to Delaware. So, you know, you can rest a little bit easy. It doesn't happen all the time. But Rahm's right about the environmental changes and typically the spawning. What I've always thought is like late May is one and then the peak July to August. But clearly temperature change affects everything. So this is just to introduce you to the fact that there is a history of season dates. Really from 1995 until 2006, it was April 1 for the crab pot fishery through November 30th. In 2007, the commission decided they could start the season March 17th and go to November 30th. So it's been pretty typical, at least for the last 10 years that way, and earlier, much more conservative. That was one of the outcomes of the concern really by industry back in 1994 and 1996 about low stock abundance. It was before we had the type of science we have today, but industry was concerned. The commission took action back in those time periods. This just shows you the actual part of the regulation that's in your packet, and it shows that in 2017, although we started March 1st, the end date now, instead of December 20th, would be November 30th, more traditional. And this is the crab pot fishery. And in 2018, instead of a March 1 start, as in 2017, it would go back to March the 17th. You can see that for all other gear types, you know, mainly centered around the peeler fishery, the season is going to be April 1 through October 31. And that's really after about 3 years. So that's after three changes. The commission had started that season May 1 and ended it September 15th back in 2014. So I think by and large this accommodates both sides of the bay in terms of the peeler fishery. And then you can see just down here the idea about when you can leave your gear out, when you cannot leave it out. That's pretty standard. Just to show you quickly, that's item one, the season. The second item is going to be the bushel limits, and the commission by emergency adopted a November 1 date to start the bushel limits being lower as well as in March. And this just shows you that by November, certainly the harvest falls off by area, and also just a real quick graph here, the number of participants fall off quite a lot. Of course, that's a four-year average. This shows the information in terms of the bushel limits, and you can look through that. But the main thing is from November 1 now, instead of November 16, as well as through March, from March 17th till the end of March, these would be the new bushel limits. If you quickly look, it's about a 28% decrease for items 2, 3, and 4, which correspond to 127, 170, and 255 crab pots. Here's the 28% reduction. It's a 20% reduction for the 85 pot.
And that would be,
tells you a little
bit. And
that
would be for an extra 2 weeks.
That would be for an extra 2 weeks. That
right.
is correct. And I jumped the gun, but down here at the bottom, percent of hard crab pot trips by the five license categories that we have that are shown across the row here that reach their bushel limit. So the idea here is not everyone is reaching a bushel limit in November at all, but certainly many are, as much as 33% in the 425 pot category. So there are some savings there. I'm sure that's not going to sit well with maybe a few, but by and large, it's a modest change compared to you know, what has been done in the past. If you look at the situation here and the savings, you're looking at some type of an average. These are always hard to predict. We're looking at 4 years and saying roughly it might save about 81,000 pounds. When we looked at everything together, which I should have in a second, the estimate is about 200,000 pounds with closing November 30th and having the lower bushel limit. This gives you a better idea in one fell swoop of where those bushel limits would be. So you can see in one slide everything involved there. Here's the 200,000 I mentioned with both factors, the season change as well as the bushel limit change. So the
Those are pretty straightforward. The next situation, I didn't put a lot of information in your current evaluation, but if you look behind your regulations, last month's evaluation is in there. For every year, it tells you from 2008 through 2016 what the commission did and some rationale for why the winter dredge fishery was closed, and the commission last month decided that that season should be closed for the 10th consecutive time. So this is just reiterating that in the current regulation, it establishes that the December 1 through March 31st, December 1, 2017, March 31st, 2018 season will be closed. And the staff recommendation today is right there. It's very similar to what the commission saw last month. Again, it's not an emergency. It is making those emergency amendments final. I'm going to buzz through them pretty quickly. It's the idea that we'll have an ending date in 2017 for the crab pot season of November 30th, a start date in 2018 for the crab pot season of March 17th, and that dredging season will be closed from December 1, 2017 through March 31, 2018. So this is a public hearing. That is the staff recommendation.
Are there questions from the commission?
The number Ms. Effort. One, the lower bushel limits from November 16th to...
That should be the move from the 16th to actually the 1st. So for since 2014, it's been November 16th through the end of the season. Now it would be November 1st through the end of the season.
So the idea is that the juveniles we see now are going to be grown throughout the summer, and they are, and then they fall they hit market size here. They haven't spawned yet, but they're eligible for exportation for harvest. So we have such a low juvenile number. The idea here is to have reduced bushel limits in November in order to conserve more of those juveniles so they have a better chance of reaching spawning the next year.
Okay. And that's November 1 through November 30th, obviously. And
that's correct, in which case then the season would close.
Okay. Thank
you.
And December 1, it'll be closed by then as well with this reiteration of the emergency amendments. So that's another little piece of the conservation that, again, is relatively modest but important.
I think it is important. Yeah. This year's, I mean, I've said this, most of you heard me say it, this year's babies are next year's mamas.
Yeah.
And the more of them we conserve to allow the likelihood to become mamas, the better off we all are down the road. How's that for really, really, really kindergarten level crab analysis?
Good commercial, huh? Commissioner.
Any questions from the commission? This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. And before we do, I want to thank Dr. Lipschitz very much for his analysis. It was very helpful and very much on point. Thank you, sir. So, what's the commission want to do?
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Tankard, and this is second by Mr. Neal to accept the staff recommendation. Any discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everyone.
Mr. France.
Yeah, Mr. Riley, have you heard anything on what the other jurisdictions are going to do?
They're a little bit behind, but not really. The PRFC, from what I know, did a first phase of lowering the season dates. Maryland has a two-pronged approach. They're going to take off 20 days in November and are also trying to figure out if they can lower some bushel limits on female crabs because, you know, quite frankly, until about 11 years ago, no one here really knew that in September, especially, Maryland has quite a good female crab fishery as they're moving through September and October. So nothing has been final yet. And I know that Marty Gary of Potomac River Fisheries Commission has talked about working on bushel limits as well. And the commissioner can tell you from the last meeting probably. and a few people will be joining that situation.
I had a long conversation with Marty.
Making it really very simple here, Maryland and the Potomac River Fisheries Commission are following along here with the same idea that we are doing right here now, which is to conserve through earlier season closure and or reduced bushel limits these juveniles that we see now that are growing and that will be exploitable, will be harvestable this November, and the idea is to conserve more of them as they move down the bay out of Maryland and Potomac River jurisdiction into Virginia waters. So I think that we're first out of the gate here and a show of faith, but I've been assured by both jurisdictions that they are following suit. And again, trust but verify. Thank you all very much for that. We will move back to crabs in a few minutes here as far as the sanctuary discussion here, but at the moment, let's move on to